Good morning, one and all, to the continuing clown show. Hopefully not us. Hopefully we're not the clowns, but I'm watching the clowns right now. And I can't wait to get into it. We got, oh, I forgot. We don't just have a guest. We'll get to the guest. We have a day. It's Big News Wednesday. Sorry, I almost robbed us of our formality. But JR Jackson is back. JR, welcome back to the United States.
What's going on, man? You know, I figured maybe I'd stay, get out of here. There was no, you know, stories of gun violence happening near me. All this stuff was going on, except it was cold, bro. It was cold.
It was cold. Well, we're glad to have you back. Canada's loss is our gain. We need you here to break down what's happening live. We need someone in the back to check into. I'm getting a little bit of audio interference. I'm not sure what's going on right there. But what I need you for, JR, is in just one moment to talk about this clown show. We're gonna get into it. We're gonna be talking about all the latest on the continuing Republican effort to just have government function the way that it's supposed to and basically always does. It's a big challenge for them. We'll see if they're up to it. We've got a couple of other new congresspeople having a little bit of fun along the way. That's gonna be awesome. An old school reference, a character from way back in one of the earlier seasons of the Young Turks is gonna make a reappearance. That's always fun. And if you stick around for the full show, off in the aftermath, we're finally gonna get to yesterday's story about Melania Trump's thoughts about Rudy Giuliani, which is a lot of fun. And a question about parenting that I think is a little bit controversial. I might be dead wrong, in which case I'm a bad guy, which would itself be controversial. So stay tuned to find out if I'm unfit to be a parent, I guess. So anyway, we're gonna talk about all that and a whole bunch of more. We got tons of stuff. We got facial recognition. We got cops being bad. We got a bunch of stuff. So hit the like button, share the stream so that everybody knows we're live. And as we go, you can send us comments, tweets, super chats and all that, and we'll respond. With all that said, JR, are you ready to do this thing?
I think I'm literally looking for updates because for the last hour, bro, things have happened.
I know they've been happening. Okay, well, let's get into it. Let's start off with this. Do we not have the video?
It is day one of the 188th Congress, and House Republicans now are on the verge of becoming a total clown show if they're not careful.
Oh, they're on the verge. They're on the verge of being a clown. If they're not careful, there's a chance. Pull it out. They're careful. They weren't careful. It's still a clown show. We're like literally as we're recording this, I'm looking at the vote count and McCarthy lost his fourth bid to be speaker. I don't know. Are we on to the fifth? I can't even track it anymore. But you can see like he already yesterday lost three votes for speaker. Even the first was historic. He decided to emulate the 90s era, the Bulls, I guess, and three-peat on the first day. And then he comes back for even more on the second day. The first majority party leader in a century to fail to secure the speakership on the first ballot. He attracted zero additional votes on a second ballot. And then on the third, even lost one when Byron Donalds switched his vote to Jim Jordan. We'll be talking about Byron Donalds in just a second, actually. This is pretty historic, pretty embarrassing for Kevin McCarthy. You know, there's been trouble getting a speaker before. It took 2 months, 133 ballots to choose the speaker in 1856. Different times, I suppose. The last time it took even more than one ballot was 1923. And bear in mind, as we go forward, McCarthy can afford to lose four Republicans. The country can afford to lose literally hundreds. He can only afford to lose four. And the best he's done so far, and this is counting right now, is 19. We'll see if it goes above that 19. They had a meeting this morning. It doesn't seem to have helped because Byron Donalds is now up. He's the alternative Republican candidate to Kevin McCarthy, and he's gotten 19 votes now. So four losses for King Clown. JR, what do you think?
Oh, what a disaster. So Byron Donalds, who was the one who switched his vote in the third vote, I believe, yesterday.
To Jim Jordan, yeah.
From Kevin McCarthy to Jim Jordan, who was the alternative that was propped up by Matt Gaetz, who didn't want it, who's still pushing Kevin McCarthy. Now, suddenly, Byron Donalds is that Jim Jordan, maybe because of his appearances on TV, because of his, I guess, floating their idea that they're trying to keep this thing moving for someone who can bring it home. And apparently Kevin McCarthy cannot bring it home. He's inspired more people, or he's that next person that just gets that vote count. Maybe tomorrow it'll be Matt Gaetz. Maybe the day after that it'll be Lauren Boebert. Who knows? Who knows?
Why not?
Why not? Just keep the butter ready. If you run out of some time in between votes, run to the store, get your popcorn, get your bowl ready, because this will continue.
Yeah. So I'm going to be, I believe in radical transparency here at the Damage Report. I could probably list like four facts about Byron Donalds, including that his name is Byron and or Donalds, and that he got 19 votes right now. That said, you have a chance, JR. You can press a button right now, and instead of Kevin McCarthy, you get Byron Donalds, the Speaker of the House. Do you press it?
Man, I don't. Is it, sure, why not? Because the thing, they're both gonna do the clown show. That's the one thing that the Marjorie Taylor Greens and them have, at least in their argument, that makes sense here. Outside of just they want to get the legislative thing moving and start their investigations because they think that'll lead them to having more electoral victories. Again, think about it. That has nothing to do with legislating. That has nothing to do with helping the American people. They are promising, as yesterday Jim Jordan was ranting about before he tried to rally some more support around Kevin, was we got these things we have to do. We have to start our investigations. Listen, you guys, we can't let any more packages pass that actually help the American people. What are we doing here? Like, they put out their entire agenda there, which is chaos, saying they're better than others. The other folks are trying to destroy you. We need to keep our propaganda machine moving and try to continue into 2024. Yes, we know it's only one branch of government that we'd have some form of control over. But the thing is, it still won't get anywhere. That'll prop us into 2024 for more elections. People don't care about that right now. I'm sure some people do, but that's their motivation. How do you get there when that's your motivation? We trying to prop ourselves up for 2024? That's what you're doing with this Congress? Maybe that's why they're all split and divided like this.
Yeah, the only person whose total attention should be on 2024 is me, because I'm already there. I'm done with this. But okay, Donald's is up to 20 votes now. Yeah,
we figured 20 would get there. I figure so, that's how much Jim got.
Yeah, so I guess look, 20 votes is only as bad as the lowest depths that Kevin McCarthy sunk to yesterday. If that goes above 20. Then the end result is, from a 1,000 miles up, it's the same. But that's starting to look like there's more cracks now. We'll see. Because right now, McCarthy not only has lost 20 votes, but Jeffries is up on him. I mean, not surprisingly, considering how quick it is and everything. But not looking great for him.
Yo,
this is what he's been working for years to get to this point.
He flip-flopped on Donald Trump's responsibility for January 6th for this. He kissed his ass for this. He went out to Mar-a-Lago and took that lame picture for this. Now look at this. By the way, this means that Byron Donalds then voted for himself here as well, because of those 20 from yesterday, they were for Jim Jordan. He was one. He was the switch, right?
Yeah.
Now he's voting for he's voting for himself. And it's public, which is the other fun part about this. You have to say it out loud in front of your colleagues. This is who I'm voting for. This isn't a secret ballot. So now they can start holding things against you. This is something else that's going to lead into this Congress. Even if McCarthy eventually gets it, or someone else, or whatever happens, these fights and these animosity, these anger towards each other is going to be held. Do you think these guys don't hold grudges, especially when it comes to power?
Yeah.
This is not, even as though this is the beginning, this is going to lead to a lot more.
We'll see. I mean, I think Donald's decided to vote for himself after he heard my endorsement of him, because the vote came like immediately after it. But anyway, I'm wondering where they go from here. I mean, in theory, do they put Jordan back up again? They in theory could do the same sort of breakdown of candidates that they did already. Does someone, well, who's another, like, is it Scalise's time to finally be up there again? Does Donald Trump get tossed out? Like, because bear in mind, you're watching this right now. You're having fun. I almost guarantee you're having fun with watching Kevin McCarthy look like I'm not gonna swear, a clown. I'm having fun. Obviously, I think you can tell that. It's not like this couldn't end up being bad. Look, I personally think if it were Jim Jordan, that's worse, right? And Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy is spineless, has no principles and everything. Like, Jim Jordan is that, but also worse, and jacketless, no less. That would actually be worse. It's not gonna be Lauren Boebert or Marjorie Greene, or, you know, knock on this table. But I don't know what's gonna happen.
Maybe they'll push that Donald's will win. To beat the Republicans elect the first black speaker of the House. You know all that stuff. They can say Republicans, look who we've got.
Yeah. Well, look, we're having a lot of fun, but we have a lot to get to in this block. So
sorry
to the TD. We're gonna jump ahead to graphic six because we gotta get into this. Kevin McCarthy clearly needs to bring in the big guns. He's already lost four. Count them, four. Bids for the speakership. Well, he's got it, maybe. Last night, Donald Trump was asked what he thinks is gonna happen. Is he supporting Kevin McCarthy? And he declined to back him, which hurts considering what Kevin McCarthy has done to protect Donald Trump. It's also, by the way, cowardly, because Donald Trump should have a dog in this fight. The fact that he's not willing to endorse him specifically or not, he's not endorsing someone else at that point was, this is a guy who is once again terrified of backing someone and then that person being a loser. Let's keep it real. That's what it is. It's Trump's cowardice, but the cowardice was brief. Donald Trump since then has come out in support of Kevin McCarthy, and Kevin McCarthy did lose again. And so kind of embarrassing for Donald Trump. But here is what Donald Trump said to try to sway the holdouts. Some really good conversations took place last night, and it's now time for all of our great Republican House members to vote for Kevin, close the deal, take the victory, and watch crazy Nancy Pelosi fly back home to a very broken California. The only speaker in US history to have lost the House twice. Republicans, do not turn a great triumph into a giant and embarrassing defeat. Too late. It's time to celebrate. You deserve it. Kevin McCarthy will do a good job and maybe even a great job. Just watch. And of course, then, Kevin McCarthy goes on to lose in the fourth round. Who knows? Maybe he'll win in the fifth round. So this does look a little bit bad for Donald Trump, the result. Maybe not as bad as his follow-up bleat, which said this: if Republicans are going to fight, we ought to be fighting Mitch McConnell and his domineering China-loving boss, I mean wife Coco Chow. The harm they have done to the Republican Party is incalculable. He definitely doesn't know that word. Dude's got the thesaurus tab open on his computer. Today, he couldn't be elected dog catcher in Kentucky. Sadly, he only won because of my endorsement, went up 21 points. Sorry, which again is not true. Listen, by the way, if he's been so terrible for so long, why did you endorse him? How do you not know that that makes you look bad? But Donald Trump now has weighed in. It doesn't appear, let's be clear, it isn't just that Donald Trump endorsing Kevin McCarthy last night didn't cause Kevin McCarthy to win. You'll notice he didn't gain a single vote since the third ballot. Not one person. And by the way, 17 of the defectors were endorsed by Donald Trump. A dozen of them denied the results of the 2020 election. Both of those are signs of attachment to Donald Trump. Not a single one of them switched over as a result of Donald Trump telling them to. And that is telling, both about Kevin McCarthy, but also about Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's getting embarrassing for everyone now, including what Trump's approach has been. But look at this other part about this. From his little truths he had there, his motivational speech to folks to then call to get behind Kevin McCarthy now after these first three, now four horrible votes, is let's do it. One point he said, let's do it so we can send Nancy Pelosi home to broken and destroyed California. That's your motivation. This is how we got here. This is how these 20 Republicans who are now pushing back, who followed Donald Trump's lead as far as being these radical crazy folks who do stuff for their own power without full thought process, it's gone to that because it's let's embarrass the Democrats. That's your motivation when you're governing, when you're supposed to be legislating, when you're trying to start this next Congress that you're in control of. Their motivation is embarrass Nancy Pelosi. She's not in power, bro. But if that's what you're thinking about, this is why it's the clown show that it is. And lastly, from his, remember his whole NFT thing? I mean, a dinner with me, it's not that great, but it's all we got. His glowing endorsement said, maybe Kevin McCarthy, maybe even might do a great job. Really? Is that? It's like if your coach is in the locker room at halftime and you're down by 21 in your football team and your coach goes, hey, if you guys get out there, maybe you might be able to come back if you try. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, okay, thanks, coach.
We're putting in the backup quarterback. He's good. Maybe great. I don't know. Just go out there. Go out there and do it. Okay, so we're done with the fourth ballot. Let's see how Donald Trump did. Okay, I pointed out that he hadn't gained a vote. And I'm a little bit confused about exactly how to interpret this. I'm hearing different interpretations from different people. But the final result is looking like 177 McCarthy, 20 Donalds, 186 Jeffries, one other. And everyone's saying, okay, yes, he lost a fourth time, but secretly his supporters were worried that coming into today that he'd actually lose more. So this is actually a good result, which is definitely what I would call losing four times in a row, good result. But if one person voted present, then you kind of lost one more. And that's not a durable thing. Maybe they switch on the next one, but this is not the week that Kevin McCarthy was hoping for. And again, like no one that they're gonna put up there is gonna be great or we're gonna like. But he's already given them a bunch and they're just not buying it. I wanna turn now to a little bit of a back and forth between some of the most vocal supporters and detractors of Kevin McCarthy. Why don't we jump into this second video?
My friends in the Freedom Caucus and Matt and Lauren Boebert and others, they don't know how to make the art of the deal because they aren't willing to take the win when they have one. They're making this about never Kevin, and that is the wrong move.
She literally can just speak in cliches about Donald Trump. She doesn't know how to make the art of the deal. Well, look, again, I feel this knee-jerk need to, they're all fighting. I despise all of them. And so whoever spoke last, I'm against. So, okay, now I have to defend Lauren Boebert. I think that Lauren Boebert's demands are kind of crazy and petty and personal and all that. But she is at least saying what she wants. She's trying to make that deal. I don't really agree with her. And by the way, we're gonna give her a chance to respond to those claims that she just doesn't know how to make a deal. She's ungrateful of the money that Kevin McCarthy gave her. Here is Lauren Boebert responding.
And she's saying that Kevin McCarthy helped you get across the finish line and that you're just trying to make a point or make a splash. How do you respond to that?
Well, there are laws in this building that prevent me from going too far into detail, but I can say that I did not receive any help in that election. And that was a very big deal. We pay dues as members to the NRCC and they were nowhere to be found. And then as far as our requests being petty, I don't think a secure border is petty.
Okay, I'm a little bit confused about the laws in the building that stopped me from going further. My initial reaction was, does she want to verbally threaten Marjorie Greene, but she's not allowed to? I don't think that's what she means. I think either she's saying I can't disclose something verbally about campaign finance, which I don't think is true, or maybe the claim that it was a close election, maybe her gut was to say, no, it wasn't close, they stole it, but she's not allowed to say that. I don't know which of those three or something else it is. The whole thing's super weird, but she is claiming that what she wants is not unreasonable. And while I think that the policies she's pushing for are radical, they're insane, at least to her credit, in addition to things like the one member being able to call for him to, you know, potentially be knocked out of his speakership, she is saying some specific policies she wants. She wants a border security bill. It was other crazy stuff. It was something about like one person being able to vote to lower the national debt. I don't know exactly how that would work, but she is at least trying to cloak the issue she has with Kevin McCarthy with a bit of policy. And so I'll give her credit for that. Jared, what do you think?
Yeah, that's the question though. Like, if you, as you hear these demands, as they give some of the things that they say they want Kevin McCarthy to do, do you guys think that Kevin McCarthy doesn't want to have another showboating border bill? Something else that hurts folks, yeah, that hurts asylum seekers. You think he won't do that? You think Kevin McCarthy doesn't want any of that stuff? But now they're painting him as this super lib. And that's making it even crazier because now folks who follow everything they say without listening or figuring it out themselves or actually looking at other sources outside of Fox News and War Room with Steve Bannon, what they'll then wonder is, wait a second, Kevin McCarthy's a lib because they buy all of this. I guess it depends on which side of the party these folks believe in. So once it starts fracturing, There's no thought process. We already know that. It just comes to believing whichever one of your leaders you like at that particular point. So now Kevin McCarthy being painted as a super lib. I'm not sure if that's going to help him when it comes to other things once they do finally get Congress going. But that's just a generally a bad look, by the way. And sorry, one more thing on Marge about the art of the deal in that book. Donald Trump doesn't know the art of the deal. Like they're pushing off of this guy as if he's some kind of a genius. Still, he lost. He's losing still right now.
Yeah, no, if you want to learn the art of the deal, all you have to do is track down the person who wrote it. I don't know the dude's name. I don't think Donald Trump remembers the name of the author who actually wrote it, but
he definitely doesn't.
People are saying they're going to a fifth vote. I'm assuming that they will. I know the fourth is done. We have the final result. It was, I believe, Victoria Spartz is the Republican who voted present, had voted for McCarthy three times in a row, could conceivably vote for McCarthy again. We'll see. By the way, there are at least two new directions, I suppose, or plausible directions of where this could go, depending on who you talk to. So if you talk to someone like Lauren Boebert, she has someone who she supported in one of the previous rounds yesterday. Here she is talking about who she thinks should replace Kevin McCarthy as speaker.
Well, right now, our candidate is Jim Jordan. He is a fighter. He is a leader. He may not want it right now, but George Washington did not want to be president. He did what was right for his country.
So do you think Jim Jordan is the consensus candidate?
Right now, he absolutely is. And every time that he speaks up to defend Kevin McCarthy, he actually just reaffirms why he would make a great speaker.
Okay, so first of all, he's not absolutely the consensus candidate because they didn't come together around him. By definition, that would be necessary for it to be the consensus. It could be a good idea of someone who could be a consensus candidate. That is possible. What's not possible, by the way, is plausibly connecting Jim Jordan to George Washington. What are you talking about? Not only do I think that's crazy, but you have to believe that Jim Jordan thinks that's a crazy comparison. I mean, look, a lot of the stuff about George Washington has been mythologized and elevated over time. Certainly, he did some terrible things, some incredibly terrible things in terms of slavery and all that. I don't know about the teeth. That seems a bit weird. But what do we know about Jim Jordan? The dude apparently overheats in a jacket incredibly quickly and was perfectly fine leaving a bunch of students to be preyed upon by terrible predators. So a bit of a gap there between the two. So Jim Jordan's one option that she would like to go for. But again, Marjorie Greene, who's on the opposite side of this, is worried about it going in a different direction. And she's getting her news updates, despite the fact, by the way, that she can talk to all of these representatives. She's getting her news and analysis from Charlie Kirk, who tweeted from House Source, two very plugged in Dem leadership aides say they're already talking about coalition leadership to divide the House evenly between Republicans and Democrats, which I don't think that that's what's gonna, I would love to believe that that's what's gonna happen. I don't know what that would look like in practice. I don't know why Charlie Kirk would have access to that information, but she's worried about it. She says if the base only understood that 19 Republicans voting against McCarthy are playing Russian roulette with our hard-earned Republican majority right now, this is the worst thing that could possibly happen. I could think of some worse ones. But anyway, maybe it's Jim Jordan, JR. Maybe they come up with not evenly splitting it between the Republicans and the Democrats. They would never go for that with their majority. But you could have a certain number of Republicans, maybe after the fifth or sixth or 10th or 30th vote, say, okay, God, we've got Scalise. We're gonna band to get Scalise. I don't know. What do you think?
It possibly. Or some people are still thinking that McCarthy has a way here. I don't know. But even if he did, look, and I was saying this before with when it comes to Donald's and potentially the fights that happen later because of it, because there's gonna be animosity and anger and revenge on a lot of people's minds just because of this. Even if McCarthy wins, if Scalise wins, if whoever, Jim Jordan, Donald's wins, there's so many people that are upset about this. How will legislation continue to go? Yeah, they'll center around something horrible that they all hate the American people for, and they'll do that fine. But whatever little dealings and things they've done and agreed on before, it's fractured, bro. There's no coming back from the fracture and the anger that is now brewing over this whole thing. Marge and Boebert aren't friends anymore already before this started.
Sad.
Just from the buildup. Now that it's happening and now you got, you know, libs laughing, throwing their head back and laughing. Oh, that's what they hate. That's the basis for their whole point of existing is to hate the libs. And now the libs are laughing at them. Problem.
Yeah, no, bro. Not at all. By the way, I know people are saying that in her interview yesterday, AOC mentioned the coalition leadership. And yes, I know she was asked about that. And again, in theory, were the Democrats to band with some Republicans to get a leader, were they to do that, you could call that coalition leadership. I highly doubt, though, I would love to be wrong, I highly doubt that that means that the end result of that would be an even split of the House. Again, what does that even mean in practice, and why would the Republicans agree to that? By the way, most of these Republicans, including the reasonable ones, let's keep it real, would be perfectly happy for Congress to not function. It looks embarrassing, but it also stops any bills from being passed. They don't want things to be passed. So look, maybe they come up with some deal. And by the way, if they were to do the deal, the Democrats would plausibly get something out of that. But an equal share and influence in the House, I think, is unlikely to be the thing.
Yeah, well, the thing is, well, I'm sorry, last thing, I know we went super far. They don't want things passed, but they want it to look like they do. That's the hard part. They can't have it blatantly be like, we're not running things and we don't want things passed. They want to not do anything or then do horrible things and then blame Democrats for being the problem for it. And their followers will always believe them. This is something you can't throw off on anyone else. You can't say the Dems are stopping us from voting for Matt McCarthy. They can't do it. They can't do it. This is where they're stuck with themselves now. So they got to figure a new way.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm getting antsy now. I kind of want a fifth vote. Hopefully we'll get it at some point during the show. But for now, we're going to take a short break. We come back, we got some other news, including news about some of the escapades of a couple of members of the House after this. Okay, everybody, let's have a little bit of fun and talk about a few representatives. So we all know that representatives have to be sworn in before they can become a member of Congress. It's admittedly a weird tradition. I don't know why, in a time when we know that all of our representatives are massive liars, why we think they would be bound by putting their hand on a piece of paper. But if they're gonna do it, at least have a little bit of fun with it. And one new arrival to DC, Robert Garcia, is doing that. It's gonna be swearing in on the US Constitution as you're supposed to. But in addition to that, a few other things too. He tweeted, "We'll be proudly sworn into Congress on the US Constitution. Underneath the Constitution will be three items that mean a lot to me personally. A photo of my parents who I lost to COVID, very sad. I lost a family member to COVID as well. My citizenship certificate and the original Superman number one from the Library of Congress." Like the actual first Superman comic, which is rare and valuable. It has been estimated at, I think the last time one went up for auction, it went for more than $5 million, which is a lot. Anyway, why would he want to do this? I'm sure in just a couple of hours, the five will be saying it's to spit in the face of Republicans or something. No, he says, a spokeswoman for him said that he learned to read and write in English by reading Superman comics. So it's especially exciting he was able to borrow this rare copy from the kind folks at the Library of Congress, which I think is awesome. Like, first of all, I love that as a way to learn. I've been taking just a little bit of Spanish for a bit, and I keep wanting to get to the point where I can like learn by reading, and I'm not yet at the point for the stories that I want to read, but I respect him. Maybe I'll try some comics. Anyway, he's called comics in the past both an essential part of American fiction and serious S. There's lessons you can learn that are invaluable. I agree. But anyway, yes, you can actually get comics out of the Library of Congress, as well as things like the Thomas Jefferson copy of the Quran, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s Bible, and those have been used for swearing in as well. So he's hardly the first person to use something that's incredibly rare and valuable. It might be the first comic ever, though. What do you think, JR?
I mean, why not, bro? Right. Again, I don't know if people are gonna be offended by this. I feel like we're getting close to people getting beyond this. Even conservatives that, you know, say the only way to swear in is Constitution, Bible, Constitution, Bible, Bible, Constitution. But then again, we then go straight forward and talk about how much they lie, how much they renege on their promises to American people, the things that they said they were going to do. All that happens. So what's the point? Do we then say you're not a real Christian because you swore on the Bible and you lied? No, like they say they care until it's all over, then they kind of don't care, kind of forgot. So it really doesn't matter. There's plenty of people who don't believe in the book that many conservatives or even Democrats swear in on, because it's just standard when it comes to the Bible and the Constitution. So what's the difference if it's this? Yeah, fine. You don't believe Superman is God. It's okay. This guy likes what happened with it, or at least how it assisted him to get to this position in life. That sounds like it's pretty inspiring. It's cool. Why not? So, hopefully, I mean, this is my prediction, there won't be too much of a problem with this.
I hope not. By the way, he chose like a super patriotic, like, you know, yeah. I don't think you could have a problem. Now, if he chose in like Wonder Woman, then all of the right wing pundits would be triggered by that, let alone, dear God, anyone ever swears in on Black Panther, the whole right wing media sphere is going to just crumble the entire thing. But it does beg a very important question, JR. What would you swear in on?
Wow, something that. Well, I mean, we're on comics. See, my brain is on comics. My favorite comic, because I didn't do tons of them, was Boondocks. I have a tattoo, actually, of Huey on my shoulder. In case you guys don't know, I mean, come on, Boondocks. Aaron Magruder is one of the best comics of all time. Not that it inspired me to learn to read or anything, or to learn the English language, but no, I like his approach stuff. It was really funny and it had a lot of poignant messages when it comes to our world and specifically our country. So, you know, since we're going comics, Boondocks, let's go.
I like it. Okay, I respect that. Okay, well, with that, let's switch it up and talk about a different representative. We're gonna stay in the same block though. There's a new Florida Republican who is facing accusations, not like ethics complaints necessarily, something more sinister, accusations of being a witch. We're here talking about Anna Paulina Luna. You can see right here in the official portrait. Although bear in mind, you know, for her fans, that's not how they want to picture her. They want to see her with guns, of course. You can see in this picture, that's how they act. That's the true avatar of their representative. Like, can you get elected these days without having, now you can't just have an assault rifle. That's weak. You have to go akimbo with the assault rifles. I don't understand it. My concerns based on that photo, I have many. Witchcraft, not at the top of the list, I'll say. But anyway, she is facing these accusations and is responding legally against them. So a letter, I'm gonna jump ahead to graphic 9. A letter obtained by the Daily Beast reveals that the Florida Republican retained the high-powered law firm Holland & Knight to go after a would-be rival who leveled a series of outlandish allegations against Luna on the Bubba the Love Sponge radio show in the fall. That show is apparently still on. I thought that was a relic of like Tucker Carlson's days of saying incredibly racist and misogynistic things back in the day. No, it's still on. Anyway, the letter demands that Matt Tito, who's a friend of Roger Stone, which is all you need to know about him, mulled challenging Luna in a primary, now needs to apologize on videos for his accusations, which include other claims other than just witchcraft, including that she was fired from a job and that she had some sort of sexual relationship with Representative Matt Gaetz. Luna describes herself as a devoted Christian. I mean, she was elected as a Republican. What else would she be? Tito isn't backing down. He says, I didn't wake up one morning when I was going on the Bubba the Love Sponge show and say, I'm gonna pull a bunch of stuff out of my ass and talk about it. You may not have woken up and said that, but that is what you did. That's exactly what you did. Anna Paulina Luna is a Republican. She's a MAGA person. She, I believe, was endorsed by Donald Trump. I'm sure she's gonna end up being terrible, but not because of hexes, not because of jinxes, not because of fiendish brews. I don't think that's why she's gonna end up being a bad representative. JR, what do you think?
Isn't this weird how this always comes to this? These women that are politicians, representatives in this particular case, whether they're Republican or not. In fact, I think it happens more to Democratic women, but you're getting challenged over this whole thing and then you have your guns out. It still always goes back. I want you guys to compare the potential pictures that are taken, because all these guys do it, as you said. If there's a Republican guy who's holding two guns, do you think his midriff is out? You think he's wearing a tank top? You think he's showing skin? Do you think he has to have his hair perfectly placed and styled? This is the look that they're looking for a representative to legislate for the people. If it's a woman, she's got to be showing the sexual nature of her with these guns. There's this weird mix of,
sure,
oh, she's so sexy and there's guns. Why? What does this have to do with anything? They want to talk about go ahead.
The guns are the only part of it that bother me. I don't care. Like, I mean, Paul Ryan loved to show off his arms or whatever. Certainly, didn't Mitt Romney pose when he was younger? There are other Republicans that try to like, look, I think a lot of them are 90 years old. They can't necessarily produce a photo like that. So I don't have as much of a problem with that. It's just the need to constantly show yourself to be like the rebirth of Rambo or something.
Yeah, but you have to, but with women, they have to, for some reason, look like this when they do it. Half of their motivation is, oh man, I like the way she looks. Why does it have to anything to do with it? You know, it's if that's your guns, that's your guns. Why does this have to mix? It's just this weird thing that we've come to accept. And I think that's part of their basis for why they do stuff like this. But then it invites this type of other stuff. Look, she's a witch, she's that. This stuff doesn't happen to male politicians. It just doesn't.
That's true.
That's just the way that their approach comes, and you buy into it more and you play in that same character when you do stuff like this. So, I mean, yeah, it shouldn't happen to her, but bro, you know who you're working with.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never heard like Matt Gaetz is a warlock. No one's ever made that claim.
Have you seen Matt Gaetz's hairy stomach while posing with guns before?
I don't want to. Although I hear he dabbles in necromancy. You're right. That is definitely something that only goes at female candidates. By the way, I am reading of Matt Gaetz that as we speak, as we're recording this, he's leading a huddle with almost 20 representatives. And he's gesticulating with great force. Oh. So he's up to something. Is it sorcery? I don't know. Stay tuned to find out. Okay, with that said, let's totally mix things up and let's have a little bit of fun. You remember Dr. Love? This is a story from quite a few years ago, 6 years ago, in fact. Malachi Love Robinson. The name might not ring a bell, but I have a feeling the photo just might. Let's bring this up. This is Dr. Love himself, quite youthful, baby-faced doctor. One part of that description is true, the other is not. He had back in 2016 begun the New Birth, New Life Medical Center and Urgent Care. And you can see him listed there on the website for that medical organization. There was just one issue. He's not a doctor. He's 18. He's a go-getter, you know, he rises and or grinds, I'll give him that, but he wasn't a doctor. What he was a scam artist. Posing as a doctor, he stole $30,000 from a patient in her 80s, which is just so terrible. An additional $20,000 from an actual doctor who should know better. But anyway, he was arrested after investigation by the Department of Health and Human Services for performing a medical examination on an undercover agent. He defended himself on Good Morning America a few days later, saying he never said he was a doctor. Quote, there are many types of degrees out there that just because someone has the title doctor in front of their name does not necessarily imply MD. I guess, but I think you know what you're doing. Anyway, later that year, while on bond for the scams he was already being investigated for, he was arrested in Virginia after he tried to buy a $35,000 Jaguar with a stolen credit card from an older woman. He received a 48-month combined sentence, but eventually most of that time passed and he was released from prison back in 2019. Well, you're probably wondering, what has he been up to? And I'm glad to say in this case that a brief stint in prison can result in rehabilitation and you can truly change as a person. In theory, it didn't happen to him though. According to court documents in 2020, he was working for United States of Freight, where he instructed customers to pay directly to an account registered under his name and Venmo and PayPal him instead of the company, stealing a bunch of money from the company he was working for. He was sentenced to more than 28 months in prison last week after pleading guilty to grand theft and organized scheme to defraud. He made it a couple years on the outside and then I guess the appeal of some quick, easy money was just too much. Poor Dr. Love is gonna be going back to prison. What do you think, JR?
Yeah, I gotta highlight the back end of that last quote. Excuse me, he said he pled guilty to grand theft, an organized scheme to defraud. He has to organize these things. He put together a website. He puts together payment options. He talks to people. He convinces them of this and that. He has a whole business structure put in place to look real, I guess enough for some folks to be fooled by it. I'm sure everyone wouldn't have been. Enough to fool enough people to thinking it's all real. The only thing left is for it to be real. This is a lot of work. Every time you see someone scam, or even, you know, we talk Donald Trump so much because he's one of the biggest scammers in the country. So they put through all this work to scam people. You can put together probably 25% more work to actually do some things legitimately.
Yep.
You have an approach that you know how to communicate to people, to expand yourself, to promote yourself, to do, that's work. This is a lot of work to be a scammer. How about you do something that's reputable? It still worked. It's not like you sat back and went, oh, this website's gonna form itself. This picture I'm gonna take to make myself look like a doctor is gonna take itself. The jacket that I have to put on to do so, the money payment options I have to form and put together and get people's credit cards and information, all has to be put together. Bro, just do something for real.
Just do it, yeah.
It's work.
I think he likes the rush. I think he's clearly intelligent. He clearly, like, at 18 doing this, that is crazy. And he poses for a damn good picture. But just this isn't the way. This isn't the way. We'll see. So here's what I want everyone watching this to do. Check back in 2 years and we're gonna see how he does. Hopefully the third time will be the
charm.
He's
gonna be swearing in on a book he didn't read when he gets into the Congress as a Republican.
Anyway. Okay, we're gonna take a short break. We come back. Lots of interesting news. Don't go anywhere. Okay, JR, we're gonna have to race to get through both of these, but let's get weird for a moment, starting with this. You might be thinking, what in the Handmaid's Tale is this? No, that's what people are seeing when they try to access Pornhub, which I read is a website in one particular state, Louisiana. Has apparently passed this insane law, and we're gonna give you all the details. Public Defendering uploaded that video to Twitter and says, hello from the surveillance state of Louisiana. People in Louisiana have to use their driver's license to go to Pornhub. This is truly wild under his eye. Yeah, no, it's real. It's Louisiana State House Bill 142, requires adult sites to screen visitors via reasonable age verification. And somehow they're defining having to use your license as reasonable, okay. By law, and it was signed, by the way, back in June, they define reasonable age verification rather narrowly. You can't do something like the agree that you're plus 18 box or input your birth year. No, it has to be full on government documentation. You can use the digitized ID card based on some form of government ID or simply actually show your license or something like it. So they have this initiative called the LA Wallet Initiative that you can use, and you will need to if you want to access some of these other websites that I've never heard of. So JR, what? It's 2023. We've survived with people being able to access pornography for many decades at this point. Why now? Why in this way? What do you think?
They're running out of options, bro. They're running out of things to complain about. Excuse me, they're running out of things to say that they're trying to oversee and protect your children from. This is just another ploy. But then of course, it's also a way to make sure that they track and monitor people that are like, yeah, sure, I'll do whatever it takes to get to my site, right? So these folks that are doing this, you think they weren't 14, 15 year old kids at any point? Mm-hmm. But they maybe didn't have the same access. I don't know what it is that the motivations are outside of trying to look a certain way, which is the complete opposite of who they are. It's just the way these things operate. But now, I'm not sure if the bigger motivation is then collecting folks' information. Either way goes, it's all around bad. And eventually, this keeps happening. Since they run out of things to say that they're so virtuous about and Christian-based about, they keep going to these lengths and they keep alienating the people that are following to the ends of the earth. There's some limits, bro. We already know the Bible Belt, specifically I think Utah even, is where the most porn watching happens. Digital, online porn watching happens. Because these are the folks that are being told so much not to do it over and over and over again since they were 5 years old. So of course, then you have these kind of results. But is this gonna work? There's more of the virtue signaling is happening. This is just gonna push people away, bro. Cause they have to know their constituents are not about keeping their porn from their eyes.
Exactly, yeah. This has been tried in the UK and France. In the UK, I believe they did some massive changes to it. I don't know the state of in France, but no, I don't think this is gonna work. This is, they call it House Bill 142. I would call it the VPN Stimulus Act because that's what's gonna happen. It's going to unleash what I'll call a torrent of other ways to access pornography. Or look, I'm just worried about, we know that there's already this issue of incels, predisposed to violence. You're gonna cut them off from their supply of pornography as well? You think that that's gonna be a good idea? Okay, well, look, they're trying. Right now, it's just Louisiana, by the way. But bear in mind, Utah Senator Mike Lee recently proposed a law that would require age verification for accessing porn websites on a national level, as well as basically outlawing a ton of different forms of content altogether. So you will have to submit government approved documentation to access a sex act or whatever. And maybe we'll have a short list of acts that are acceptable that Mike Lee thinks it's okay for you to look at. And by the way, there are supposed to be protections in this, JR, to make sure that people's private information isn't released. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
There's no way that this could possibly go wrong and people's search history and stuff couldn't be shared and everything. This entire thing's a disaster. Prohibition is not gonna work.
It can't. It's impossible. Sorry, that's the last thought.
100%. I'm hearing that Byron Donalds is being nominated again. Okay, we're gonna have to check in on that after this next story. For now though, let's jump into one more story. Police have arrested a resident of Georgia, Randall Reed, for what they're saying is a big crime. Stealing $10,000 worth of Chanel and Louis Vuitton bags. The issue with it is that the suspect that they've arrested says he didn't steal the bags. Also, he's never been to the state where they were stolen. So he's never even been to Louisiana, by the way. So why did they arrest him? How did they track him down? A facial recognition camera system. So they believed it was this guy three states away because it triggered this facial recognition tool that they'd been using. Now, according to Reed's lawyer, he is 40 pounds lighter than the criminal visible, like visibly totally different, not the same person. And they did eventually let him go, but they arrested him. And that is already bypassing so many checks that are supposed to be present on the system, especially when using fake facial recognition software. So the lawyer says, I think they realized they went on a limb making an arrest based on a face. Yes, but bear in mind, they were still willing to do it. And I haven't seen any big announcements that they're gonna be instituting new checks and balances on the use of this. By the way, they don't need new ones. They're already present. They're just not following the ones that are there. And I want you to bear in mind that while this is a problem, no matter what, and not the first time this has come up, at least three wrongful arrests have made news about using facial recognition as literally the only evidence of a person's guilt. But I want you to remember all of what we've talked about over the years about facial recognition and AI systems like this and how they are made to be good in certain circumstances and not others. Now think about how that's going to affect law enforcement and bear in mind the numerous studies that show that the technology is especially inaccurate when identifying people of color and women compared to identifications of white men. They're trained on white faces, so they're very good at telling the differences between white faces. They're programmed in many cases by white programmers. And so bias is baked into the coding, and that's how you get these sorts of mistaken identities. And unfortunately, it's combined with police who are willing to take that as gospel and just go and arrest someone without any extra evidence. JR, what do you think?
Yo, lazy police work, as you could imagine. And same thing, we're using new technology and we're gonna go to this stretch and get someone else. And as you point out, because of who created it, there's those problems with it. And even if it wasn't for those biases, there's still gonna be problems with it. It's technology, bro. It hasn't been perfected, it's brand new, and they're just gonna jump straight to it. It's the laziest approach to trying to then arrest someone for a, you know, robbery of a Louis Vuitton store. This is what they're focusing on now, right? This is the point. And it makes it easier and easier for them to then wrongfully arrest folks. We hear about these idiots always talking about how the Matrix is here. You know, the gazpacho police are coming for you, as Marjorie Taylor Greene said. They're doing all this to get you. Are you gonna point out when people get arrested that maybe you don't like? Because those folks are still Americans, they're still regular people going about their own damn business. So as they get arrested over facial recognition from three damn states away, as you pointed out, who's gonna stand up for them? How much do you really care about all this stuff that you're talking about? Again, it's gonna continue to expose how these are all just talking points to make sure you look a certain way, again, to get elected, not about actual trying to stop any crime.
You're 100% right. Like they've spent decades freaking out about the new world order and global governments and everybody's gonna be like, come on, a facial recognition system that's just picking you up like in a store or something, then flagging you for a crime someone else did three states away. Every one of them should be against this, and it's weird that they're not.
Yep.
Okay, thankfully in this case, he was released. Hopefully the police in New Orleans will start actually following the law. Anyway, that is unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of our show. Thank you everyone on the linear platforms or listening on podcasts. If you are on the podcast, by the way, we would love you to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. I'll be reading through some of those later on today. But there is more show to come in the aftermath. Tucker Carlson on atheism, as well as Melania Trump's thoughts about Rudy Giuliani coming up after this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.